I'm not going to accept this because it's too tough. They're the
I don't
loans
think you
are
want
too.
to ask me that question.
I want to hear the answer.
Oh man. This is where I get super fired up.
Welcome to Elements of Styles, the business podcast that trades in scarce thinking for community, conversation, and ideas in abundance. Each week, I, Mark Styles, sit with professionals and entrepreneurs, both local and global, and learn how they each add value to their communities, their partners, and their teams. Please enjoy.
This episode is brought to you by Secure a Title. Secure a Title helps attorneys, buyers, and sellers with their title and escrow needs. Check us out at SecureATitle.com. SecuriTitle.com. Secure a Title.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Mark Styles with Elements of Styles. And we are here today with a special guest. A little bit different today. We are with a sales manager in the mortgage industry. Sales manager at Loan Depot, Norwell, Massachusetts. Today, say hello to Jessica Salia. Hey, Jessica.
Hey, how you doing, Mark? Thanks for having me.
We're doing amazing. It's a beautiful day here in New England, as you know. But what we want to know right now is, how did you get into the role of sales manager at Loan Depot in Norwell, Massachusetts? Break it down for us. How'd you get in the biz?
All right. Well, it's really kind of a funny story. I was in the mortgage industry when I was very young. I was 21 years old, and my friend's father owned a mortgage company. He decided to open one because his son opened one and was doing very, very well. I mean, as you know, this was a very different industry at the time. And I was like, you know what? Why not? And it was just very different. And this was when the shift was happening and the crash was happening and all of these things. And I love the industry when we were working through faxes and paper rate sheets and all those crazy things, but it just became something that I no longer loved or really felt good about doing anymore. Because as you know, again, there was no regulation in the industry. We were selling products that realistically people shouldn't have had. So it just wasn't for me anymore. So I decided to get out of the industry for 10 full years.
So we're talking about 2008, 2009 right now, that you're faxing people and doing loans and just not really feeling fulfilled.
That was it. So that's when I was in it. And I got out for a full 10 years and did a lot of other things, decided that it was important for me to go back to school. I got my master's degree. I started getting my master's degree. And as I was sitting there, and I opened up my own home care agency, doing in-home non-medical senior care. And we ended up being very successful. We got very successful very quickly, but I realized that I wasn't happy in what I was doing. And it didn't make me feel fulfilled at the end of the day. And it was very stressful. And the busier we got, the less time I had at home. Now, we're also a military family ourselves. My husband was deploying a lot at the time. I had one child and I had two children at that point. One was very young and, you know, he was going back and forth. So the busier he got and the bigger our company got, the more difficult it actually became for me. So I was sitting down with my best friend at a restaurant one night and she looked at me and she goes, "You need to come back and work for me again. You need to come back. You need to work with me. You need to get back into the mortgage industry." And I was like, "Hey, I don't know. This is crazy." So I went home and I talked to my husband about it. And he was like, "Hey, why not? You loved it when you did it before. You know, can't hurt to try." So I went home, I signed up for my classes. I did all my classes and took the test within 7 days and started at what was then Mortgage Master about 30 days later.
Wow.
It was a whirlwind. I moved quick.
And this is what now, 2017?
So yeah, end of 2016 was when we sat down. It was like December-ish. And I began with what was Mortgage Master. January 23rd of 2017. And of course, we were actually bought out by Loan Depot mid 2017 and converted our name fully in 2018.
Got it. So the industry was a little bit different when you got back, huh?
It was. I mean, you now needed to be licensed and there's regulations and you needed to learn all of this stuff. And I was actually really excited about it because I'm a super geek. And that's the first thing I tell everyone. I love to read. I love to learn. the products were so different. You really had to know the ins and outs. And I really felt like the consumer was protected too at the end of the day. So not only was I able to offer them a product that I really felt strongly about and that benefited them in the end, but I was able to feel really good about myself at the end of the day saying, you know what? I was able to offer these products that that really benefited a client. I was able to help myself in a career that I love, and I couldn't have been more thrilled to get back into this industry. Working with people is just my favorite thing in the entire world. Because to me, it's not about a transaction. I never look at every single deal in front of me as a transaction. I look at it as, okay, this is a family moving into a home. How can I do that? Or this is a family looking to refinance. Maybe it's to build an addition on their house, which, you know, they're going to grow into, or they're going to have in-laws in. Or I look at it as we're going to, you know, be able to save them some money. So maybe they can get that new car that they've been, you know, trying to save up for 5 years. So at the end of the day, I can look at every single deal and say, wow, I feel really good about this.
So how did you get back in? I mean, it was a tough market in 2017. You don't have any relationships anymore. They've all changed, switched, become different. So you're basically starting all over again in 2017. How did you do it?
Yeah. So that's interesting. So I didn't have any relationships. I had no referral partners. I am definitely somebody who doesn't require a ton of sleep. So that helped. But every single morning when I get up, like my feet hit the ground and I start running and I'm like, okay, let me figure it out. So it was not easy. Of course, you know, getting into a sales industry in the beginning, I would say 9 out of 10 times you're going to hit a wall and you're going to feel failure in the beginning. And you're like, and your choice at that point is, do I look at this as a lesson as to how to grow and how to move forward or do something differently next time? Or do I let it defeat me? And I really think that that's the difference. So Loan Depot itself has such an amazing platform that I was able to take every contact that I have ever had in my entire life. And I was able to put it into this system. I was able to reach out to people on a regular basis. I can stay in front of them. You know, as you know, social media has become such a huge part of our world, and educating people through social media and reaching out that through that avenue. It's really the tools that Loan Depot gave me that allowed me to grow. And it's all about utilizing those tools and doing them properly. Because if you have a hammer, but you don't know how to use it, it's not going to do anything for you. But if you have a hammer and you can hit that nail on the head, you know, 9 out of 10 times, you're going to get somewhere at the end of the day. So to me, it was really about that. It was about educating myself in the product, knowing things that other people maybe didn't know. Because I still talk to people and they're like, oh, why do you want to do all of these different loans or different products? Because to me, that's really exciting to learn something new in the industry and to learn something new that's out there. Is so exciting to me that I have to know every little tidbit. So I did everything. If there was an event, I went to it. If somebody was running a networking group, I went to it. If somebody was having, you know, an educational seminar, I went to it. So I think that realistically, it's about showing up. And I think a lot of us forget about that sometimes because we always want people to show up to us. We want people to come to our kids' birthday parties. And sometimes we're like, oh, we're really busy. And we look at that. I look at it as I want people to show up for me. I need to show up for them. Showing up really made a difference. Being available all the time is something I kind of pride myself in because my clients laugh. They're like, I didn't really believe her when she said I could text her at 11 o'clock at night, but she will respond at 11 o'clock at night. So that was always really important to me. Making sure that my clients were aware that no matter what, I was always there for them day in or day out.
So let's talk about them. So let's talk about the different products that you're comfortable working with. So what I was hearing there is that some of your colleagues are saying, hey, you want to niche up. You want to find a product that works for you and a customer base that works for you and stick to it. But it sounds like you don't find excitement. You find excitement in learning and doing different things. What type of products are you?
So I definitely have a little, I do have a niche as well because my biggest referral sources, and we always talk about this, would be VA clients. As I said, we come from a military family and moms. And I'll tell you the reason behind both of those. So my husband's in the military for about 14 years. And I realized when we did our first VA loan that you know, while I worked with a great lender, I was talking to other people and they were like, oh, nobody can read a pay stub. And I was like, oh, that's really interesting. Now, if you ever see a military pay stub, they're not broken up in the same way. Even the date of the pay stub is actually dated to when they joined the military. So I talked to more and more people and they said that VA loans were so frustrating that they would opt to go with a different product that was not beneficial to them just so they didn't have to deal with the hassle. So it was really important to me to start educating specific consumers. I started going to Yellow Ribbons and speaking in front of anywhere between 150 to 350 veterans who were either pre or post deployment, explaining to them the breakdown and the benefits of a VA loan. I also, you know, take pride in educating realtors and other individuals as to why this is such a strong loan and why it's an earned benefit. So that's a niche. I do quite a few VA loans. If you look, I think I'm close to one of the top in Massachusetts in certain counties as well. I don't know. Some of those things come out sometimes. I see that. And also moms, I always say the two most loyal people in the world. I got military and moms. Like no one's sending you more clients than that. There was a women's group that I belonged to years ago, and it was a Facebook group, and they allowed a lot of things, but they didn't allow networking. And what they said was, hey, listen, we're here to support you in everything, but we're not here to support you financially. And I thought, well, how crazy is that? Because realistically, your financial stability determines your stability in life. So to say, we'll support you in everything except how you feed your family, to me was crazy. So I was like, hey, ladies, would you be okay with me starting, you know, a break off group and a little networking group on the side? This was about, I don't know, 3 years ago, maybe. And everyone said, oh, we would love that. Now we've grown to over 4,000 members.
Wow.
And yeah, we've grown to over 4,000 members. We're called South Shore Women. And we have women advertising all the time. In fact, a local journalist wrote an article around Christmas time saying, hey guys, you don't need to shop on Amazon anymore. South Shore Women is your new local shopping place. Like go to this site and you will find every product that you need. So we've grown.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. It made us so excited about that group that actually, and we just launched our own nonprofit associated with that group as of January 1st of this year.
So now I know the answer to my initial question. How did you get back into it and get started? You have energy, an amazing amount of energy.
Maybe to my poor husband and kids. I'm like, what are we doing today? My husband's like, we could sit. I'm like, or we could do this whole list of super fun things.
Oh, that's amazing. So tell me about your family.
My family's amazing. I have a 3-year-old girl named Gloria. I have a 5-year-old boy named Grayson. I have an 8-year-old boy named Logan, and they are amazing. They are absolutely amazing. They are incredible kids, very patient too, because like I said, I do work a lot, but I make a lot of time for family. And I think the best part of being in an industry of sales and having a platform that's so digital and so on the go is that I can take 10 applications while I'm out at the beach with my kids. It's, you know, a matter of shooting a text message over. My husband is the most supportive person in the entire world. And he supports all of my craziness. So I say, when I say, oh, I've got a big idea, he doesn't say, oh God, not another one. He said, tell me about it and let me know what I can do to help you. So that's been pretty awesome because I know that a lot of people talk about how, you know, it's really difficult to balance home and work life. And the biggest part of my success is due to my family. They are not my reason why I can't do something, where I can't take a phone call, I can't do this. They're my reason why I do those things. They push me to be better every single day, and they always understand. Now, of course, you need to make time for both. But to be honest with you, in this industry now, you can pick up the phone and talk for 30 seconds and then shoot over an application or fix a problem in 30 seconds because we are so digital and have such an amazing platform that even if I'm out and I have to grab a quick phone call, I mean, it's during COVID especially. Oh, I can't tell you the amount of times I'm on with a client and I was like, oh, sorry, that's my kid. Oh, sorry, that's my dog. I'm not really apologizing for them being there. I'm just apologizing because maybe you couldn't hear me. I have never had a single person say, well, I don't appreciate your child being in the background, because 2020 is really, that's it. Like we've learned how to balance in 2020.
Right. You're not going to hear someone say, it's very unprofessional that your dog is barking in the background. Well, you know what? We're trying to be safe here. Let's talk about COVID. let's talk about COVID. We're going to talk about some tools in the toolbox at loanDepot, right? So you without those tools, you wouldn't have got off the ground fast. So let's talk about how those tools were available to adapt. I mean, you're not sitting down at the dining room table taking a loan application anymore.
No, which is so awesome. I can tell you right now, I can multitask like I never thought I could. Now, obviously, I was super nervous to join this industry again because I was like, oh gosh, I don't know how I'm going to balance it all at first because I didn't know the system. And when I did it, it was very different. And when I kid you not, we were faxing every single page. I'm like, oh, I'm going to fax 200 pages of tax returns. That is just not it anymore. We have a proprietary system called Mello that was built for us. Anthony Shea is the owner of our company, and he had an idea and he wanted to recreate the mortgage industry. And there is no question in my mind that he has gone and accomplished that task. He has created a system so easily integrated and so easily maneuvered that I could take 10 applications at the same time. We can send out updates to your loan. Now, if you want to know what your loan, it's sending auto updates to let you know where you are and, you know, what we need from you. Our documents are sent right from a secure link portal. We have marketing built in for it. Our CRM is amazing. I mean, there's nothing that he didn't think of. And I remember my first year, I get this invitation in my email and I was like, oh, this is weird. An invitation to an Anthony Shea dinner. And I didn't realize that it was going to be a very intimate dinner. Now I looked at, you know, my best friend, my boss at the time, and I'm like, she's like, oh, I have to go to this thing. I'm like, I just got the invite. Why'd they invite me? And I remember my regional manager being like, oh, it's because like you bring a positive spin. But it was 13 people at a dinner table. And it was me and all these people had been in the industry for 10 years. So I was like, oh, lovely. Yep. And of course he looked at me and went around the table and he said, guys, I don't actually want to just pretend that I care what you want. I want you to tell me what I can do to make this system easier and how we can build it to work around you, not for you to work around it. And he said, tell me right now what you can see us doing better, what we need to add, what we need to subtract. And he did. He sat there and he really listened to us and said, we're going to build this for loan officers. And this system was built for loan officers. And we have a team of people that stand behind us to help us. And if we don't understand something, they'll work with us. We have a built-in system called Yoda. So if you need a guideline, you can pick up anything through a quick search on the drop of a hat. So the systems were built to maneuver for loan officers, not built for processing on the other side, which I do feel that most systems are built to be processed easily, but not to sell from. Ours does both.
That's really interesting. So that is where we've noticed a lot of loan officers have fallen since that time frame of low regs, you know, just loose, is the paperwork part of it.
Yep.
And it appeared as though they were being asked to be processors. So tell me more about this Yoda product. So this is really cool.
Well, Yoda is where you can go in and look up any guidelines you want. But if you want to talk about the paperwork part, I mean, Yoda is amazing. Yoda has every guideline under the sun. You type in one word, but what you really care about is the processing side. Let me tell you, no one asks for less documents than loanDepot. Okay. We run dual AUS, which is we run Fannie and Freddie on every single loan. Okay. We have digital income. We have digital assets. And can I tell you that I've actually done multiple loans where the borrower doesn't send me a single piece of documentation? Not one. And no one ever believes it. Yes. Not one. Because you know what? If your bank account can link to digital assets, not only can we link it the first time, but we can also link it again to get your EMDs. We can link it again to show, you know, multiple deposits clearing if we need more funds. If we can link your income, it pulls a full VOE from the past 3 years. So why would I need anything? Now, the only time that we ask for something isn't for an overlay for us, but maybe there's an agency overlay. And then we'll ask for a couple things, but we don't need tax returns on every product like other companies do. We don't need, you know, there's so many pieces of documentation that I learned that other companies are asking for that I was like, I've been in this industry for 10 years, so I only know Loan Depot, okay? I talk to clients, they say, well, tell me what else I need to do. Well, I don't need anything. And I always joke with them, I'm like, do you want me to send you a list to make you feel better? And sometimes they're like, yes. Like, what are we supposed to be doing? And it's truly, you sent it, now it's, you just wait. We're gonna handle everything else.
On the back end of it, and your job is just to sit back and let us close it.
And keep it smooth.
And they feel like that's too good to be true because I've been in the process before. Yeah. I know what's going to happen. Your process is going to get the file and then they're going to ask me for everything. You're just doing the sales piece and you're making it seem easy.
Yep.
Really, what else do I need? Tell me now.
I can't tell you the amount of times I get that. I get from a lot of clients, this was easier than buying a car. I didn't believe you. Did you just tell me I was clear to close? I haven't done anything yet. I only did an application. What do you mean? I can't be clear to close, which is just awesome. And hearing that, I just took a VA loan the other day from another company just because their rates weren't competitive. And, you know, they said the process was so daunting. They were like, oh, they just sent me this list. And they were like, tell me what you need from me. I'm like, who do you want to use for insurance? They were like, whoa. I was like, yeah, no, we're going to get the binder for you too.
Can we talk about VA for a second?
Sure.
We have been talking about this for a while too. And what would you say to the real estate agents out there that say, I'm not going to accept this because it's too tough.
I don't think you want to ask me that question.
I want to hear the answer.
Oh man. This is where I get super fired up. Again, I come from a military family. Many of my friends are still in the military. And I can honestly, do you want my honest answer? Okay. Here, how dare you not accept an earned benefit that somebody spent this much time putting their life at risk in order to be able to utilize this benefit at a 2.5% interest rate, 100% financing with no mortgage insurance. Do not assume that somebody has no funds. Okay. Do not assume that they're not a strong borrower just because they're utilizing this benefit. Because I can run a 10% down conventional against 100% financing VA, and it's probably the same payment. So why would they be crazy enough to not utilize this benefit that they earned? Has amazing rates. It falls under the same qualifications outside of the termite inspection as USDA or FHA, which you'd have no problem accepting. And you know what? The VA is probably less strict and comes back and says to you, listen, if you complete X, Y, and Z, if there are appraisal issues, good, you're good to clear and good to close. So I don't understand why it has such a negative connotation against it, because people will call me all the time and they say, oh, it's so much harder than even FHA, or, you know, this is not going to be a strong borrower, which is 100% not the case. And you know what? Sometimes I do tell my clients, listen, they don't think that you're strong because you're not, you know, going to be bringing money to the table. Sometimes I have them put a bigger EMD and then get it refunded at the table. Yeah. So if that's going to strengthen it and make the realtors feel better, then that's okay. But I always say to them, listen, I guarantee my financing because I do not issue pre-approvals where I have not verified income, where I have not verified assets, and I have not verified that they qualify for this specific property. As long as nothing has changed, as in, you know, taxes have doubled since what I was able to find, or you know, you're going to run into flood issues, or, I mean, there's issues that always arise in a property that we can't see, but for the record, that would arise on any loan. You don't have extra hurdles. I recently heard from a realtor who said, I'm not accepting a VA loan because if the appraisal comes in low, I have to drop the sales price. Whoa, what? No, who told you that? The rule for VA is as long as it is not detrimental to the borrower, you can 100% bring those additional funds to the table. You know, again, not everyone wants to, but that's going to be up to them. But no, that's not a VA criteria, but a lot of realtors have been told that, and I'm learning that recently. So there's, especially when the prices are going right now, you know, $50,000 over, they're like, man, I don't want to take a VA because if it doesn't appraise, well, if it doesn't appraise, any borrower has to bring the excess. And if they're willing to do that, fine with us.
But what about the objection? The appraisers are so difficult. It's so hard.
These VA appraisers are no more difficult than any other appraiser that goes out there. Okay. They are running the same comps as if you were buying a conventional purchase. They are running the same, their same criteria falls for a VA loan. Again, the only difference on a VA loan that you're looking at is that NPMA 33 form that has to be filled out, which is just the termite and pest, which is done during the inspection phase. So as far as the actual appraisal, you're running against the same appraisal. You're running against the same comps. So to say that these appraisers are more difficult doesn't make sense to me. A lot of these appraisers that do VA loans do other loans as well. So, and they've been doing it for years. I mean, a lot of these guys have, like, I've been doing this for 30 years. I just want to help. Some appraisers are more difficult in general, but guess what? That doesn't fall just on the VA. Some conventional appraisers are more difficult. Some FHA appraisers are more difficult.
So is it just bad education, bad messaging, or is it loan officers have given it a bad name because they don't really know how to do it?
I think it's bad messaging. So what I love about VA appraisers is, like, guess what? They have 10 days to return that report from the date we issue the order. So if we issued it today and it was accepted on the 27th, they only have, and the VA will always assign it within 24 hours, they only have 10 days to return that report. Find me a conventional appraiser who says, oh, I'll give it to you in 10 days right now on this crazy turn times. I mean, we're seeing 2-3-4 week turn times in some appraisals. So the VA is actually a little bit stricter than other appraisals. And I think it's bad messaging. I think that because a lot of people are interested in, like, flipped properties or properties that, you know, oh, if I just update this. So I get people all the time that send me houses and they're like, I heard this won't qualify. I'm like, listen, that house is ugly because it hasn't been updated since 1920, but it will 100% pass a VA inspection. Like, there's no peeling paint. There's no broken handrails. There's no cracked tile. Like, as long as there's no asbestos or things that I can't see, that's going to pass a VA appraisal. It doesn't have to be pretty. It just has to fall within health and safety guidelines, which is a government regulation
to protect our soldiers. But this is being backed by the full faith and credit of your United States government too, correct?
Mm-hmm. So there's a 25% guarantee. So basically, VA loans are very secure loans for lenders, which is why rates are also so good. There's a guarantee there. There's a guarantee on so many different levels. And the VA, honestly, when they offered those forbearance packages, the VA was the less strict for people to be able to refinance out of them and allowed those forbearances to be paid off through a refi.
So how do we get the message out to the referral partners, to the community, that these are great loans, these should be embraced, and not, there should be no hesitation, there should be no conversation with your client listing agent other than, this is one of our soldiers, let's go.
Work with the right people. Work with educated loan officers, because it is like any product. Now, I talk to lenders all the time who they're like, I do conventional, I do jumbo, I do this. So you just really have to work with the right lender and the right referral partner. As long as your lender is educated on the product, that's the number one thing. So just like you would interview your realtor, interview your lender, say, you know, I'm going to do a conventional loan. What was your percentage of conventional loans? Have you ever run into these issues? What do you know about this? So you should be doing the same thing for your VA loans. Listen, how many of these do you do? Are you familiar with the product? What if I run into this issue, or how do I overcome this? And that's something that's really important. So understanding that your lender specifically knows how to run the product is the most important part to guarantee that your financing is going to be smooth and secure. So that's what I would do. And I would recommend referral partners do that too. Hey, listen, I'm a buyer's agent for this client. They have a pre-approval from you. Tell me why I should trust your pre-approval. That's okay. I'm never insulted when a realtor says, tell me what your qualifications are. No problem.
And in a time like this, right? So when there's multiple bid situations and you're having that conversation, advocating for your client, right? Your borrower to win this deal, they're obviously down to they're in the final round and it's you. What do you say to that listing agent to get your client to win that deal?
Again, I really like to explain the security of their financing and the fact that I am a local lender and that we do look at each specific scenario as not a transaction, but we put everything into it. So before I gave you that pre-approval that just basically says pre-approved for this amount, I made sure they sent me your listing. I made sure I looked up the taxes. They already have a payment breakdown and know how much they're going to be spending every month to know that they're comfortable with that. I've looked at their pay stubs. I've probably collected year-end pay stubs from the last 3 years. I've looked at their W-2s. I have their bank statements. Guess what? If you want a quick close, like, we can do it. We're the lender to do it. I'm talking to people all the time that said, oh, I was told no way. No matter what, we're talking a 60-day close. We were still turning them around in 30 days, much to my poor processor's demise. So she'll probably listen to this. But, you know, whether we had, you know, 10 files or 120 files in process, like, we turned them around very quickly because we scan our pipelines every day to make sure that we have not missed a single thing on a single loan every single day. And if something is, we're waiting on something, we'll say, hey, borrower, we need this. We'll pick up the phone. We're not just going to send a text. We will not extend. We will get this closed on your timeline when your sellers are comfortable. And we will guarantee that this financing is secure because we have reviewed everything that needed to be done. We didn't just issue a blanket approval and say, here you go. I just got a client on Sunday night at 7 o'clock. Apparently offers were due at 8. And which is just crazy, but that's what these times are right now. They're crazy, but they got way more offers than they thought. And they said, I have an approval with Quicken Loans. My realtor asked me if I could call you. Is there any way you could do an approval right now? And I said, I sure can, but how fast can you move? Because I'm not giving you that pre-approval until you're willing to send me every single thing I can do to verify that you are qualified to purchase this home.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And that must be so helpful for your borrowers to be able to advocate for them in this wild, wild time.
Yeah. So the only thing is, if anyone here is listening and talks to the VA generally, they, as of last year, added on, or 2 years ago, added on a VA renovation loan. That is on hold due to COVID, but they keep telling us that that's going to be coming back anytime soon. So again, all those reasons why you couldn't buy a VA loan, when that renovation loan is back, you can use a VA renovation loan. That is that we will lend you up to 100% of the as completed value of your renovation. So if you want to buy a house that needs to be gutted from top to bottom, we're your lender when the VA starts allowing it again. We keep harassing them every day.
What an amazing product. I personally call them. That's
amazing.
That sounds like an amazing product. And I love it. I love the earned benefits. As we wrap up, I ask everybody, once this COVID is over, we're going to have a guest get together and karaoke is on tap. What's your go-to?
Fun.
What's your go-to karaoke?
Oh man, I can't even tell you the last time I karaoke'd. That was a tough question and definitely not something I anticipated. You know what? I'm probably going to throw it back with some Journey.
Journey,
I just feel like, so I mean, I was a bartender for years.
I love it.
I'm gonna do it.
Wheels in the Sky.
I'm gonna go with, we have so many challenges. So many options. You know what? I don't know. It's gonna be tough. I'm gonna go with Journey, but I'm gonna hold it to last minute decisions there.
I love it. I love it. And that's not an easy voice to emulate.
I think I like to bring the energy.
I love it. You go for it in everything you do. I love that. So Jessica, most importantly of all, how do folks get in touch with you if they want to chat it up with you a little bit?
Please, you can call me anytime or text me. My cell phone number is 617-407-2524. You can email me at jcelia@loandepot.com, or you can go right to my website and fill out an application if you ever want to check into your financing, which is at loandepot.com/jcelia.
Awesome. And of course, they could find you on all sorts of social media platforms, but remind them about your other private group.
South Shore Women. Our group is amazing. We are called South Shore Women. We advertise local females in all types of business. You are welcome to advertise. We don't have a limit on the amount of days you can advertise. You can advertise your products. You can ask questions. You can ask for assistance. And again, stemmed from that, we did just launch a nonprofit called Grow, Giving Real Opportunity to Women. Our website will be launched next week. If you would like more information on that, you can also reach out to me because we will be offering grants and sponsorships to help women achieve more.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Jessica, thank you so much for your time. I look forward to seeing you very soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't wait.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe on your platform of choice for a new episode each week and share this with everyone and anyone. If you have any questions or comments or have an idea for another guest, feel free to shoot me an email at mstiles@styles-law.com. That's mstiles@styles-law.com. And if you are a real estate professional, be sure to check us out on our private exclusive Facebook page, The Real Estate School at 892, for content and Massachusetts continuing education opportunities. Be well, folks.
This podcast is being provided for informational purposes only. The podcast is not a comprehensive overview of the subject and is not intended to provide legal or financial advice or an endorsement of any product or business. The views expressed by podcast guests are their own, and their appearance on the podcast does not imply any endorsement of them or any entity they represent. Please seek legal, financial, or tax advice before taking any action on the matters or products discussed herein.